Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What's going on, everyone? It's your boys Jack Coughlin and
John Lee,
and we are finally back with another episode of Courtside Eclipse Nation podcast. It has been a minute, but free agency signings are going down, and of course Clippers have made some moves. We are here to break it down for you guys and give you our reactions on it. So Sir Jonathan, are you ready to rumble?
Hell yeah, I'm ready.
Let's do it. All right, let's start off with the real big news for the Clippers. John Wall, his contract was bought out by the Houston Rockets, which made him a free agent, and he signed with the Clippers right away. Two-year deal, $13.2 million. John, what do you think?
Obviously, big deal, because now we don't have to hear about them being linked to John Wall through all the after all the past months when they've been talking about it. And now we don't have to worry about potentially gutting the roster to trade for him. Buyout was probably the best case scenario, which happened. He signed on a two-year $13.2 million deal. Kind of surprising for me, at least, that he took he got a second year. But some people were upset that he got the mid-level exception, the $6.5 million that they thought could have been used on Isaiah Hartenstein. But overall, you're paying $6.5 million a year for a guy who used to be an all-star, who still has something left in the tank. Now you have a point guard. I don't know if he's starting, but now at least we don't have to worry about point guard depth for now. And then you got Preston as your third string. But I like it. I like his fit. I was really happy when I saw the news. I think he's going to start. I think he's going to bring some downhill juice, some pick and roll with Zoo. I think Zoo's going to have a good year because of him. But yeah, I'm a little worried about his jumper, but we'll see what happens with all that spacing around him. But yeah, I'm excited for the future, and man, I wish it was October already.
October cannot come soon enough. I think it's really interesting because, of course, last year we started the year with Bledsoe coming off the bench, and I feel like John Wall is almost a little bit better version of a Bledsoe. And you know, Bledsoe, he had his downs, he had his ups, but his ups were pretty good. You know, he showed some signs of being really good off the bench and getting an improvement with John Wall over him. Well, I think it'll look good for the Clippers off the bench to start. Of course, you know, who knows how the lineups could change depending on how good John Wall does. But I'm excited too. John Wall is another one of those guys that just seems like a universally loved player. It's really hard to hate on John Wall. You know, he just does his thing. You know, he does the John Wall and do the John
classic.
Wall.
Classic.
Had to throw that in there. And he seems to be friends with Paul George, so he'll get along with the guys great. And yeah, October can definitely not come soon enough. I'm just super, super, super excited. Wait. So with John Wall being thrown onto the team, what do you think the lineups are going to look like to start the year?
I think he should start right away. Like I know last season, I think they Ty Lue started Reggie and Bledsoe for like the first part of it, and then he eventually moved Bled to the bench, which was good for him. I think that Wall should start because I really want him to work with Zoo a lot, because I think he could kind of get some of that, like him and Gortat, how they had in Washington going. I really want to see him do that.
Plus, Gortat, that's a Clipper legend right there.
Bro, he got him paid. He gave that man pretty much, he helped his career basically at that point. And John Wall, I think you're going to surround him with Kawhi and PG, two of the best players in the league. And then Rocco or Nico, another shooter. So you're giving him all this space. And then when you let him go downhill, he can either dump it to Zoo or kick out to three shooters. So I think it would be the best thing to have him start. And plus,
so who would he start over, do you think?
Oh, Reggie. Is that a question?
You think Reggie to the bench?
Yeah, I think Reggie to the bench.
Oh, no, I feel like you got to stay starting Reggie to start the year. He's Reggie.
Listen, I'll tell you what, because sometimes you have to coach, like, not always the best fits starts. Which makes sense. But then you also have a guy who's a star. Like, he's still a star, I consider him. Like, 2 years ago when he last played, he only played like 40 games, but he was still 20-7. Like, and that's on a bad team, like, not much spacing and all that. I think you got to get him going with that starting unit early. Reggie, before he was even back in the starting lineup, 2 seasons ago, he wasn't even playing. Then he went to the bench, and then he worked his way back up to being a starter. I think Reggie would put it aside. I don't think he would have any problem. Plus, Reggie, I think, has good continuity with that second unit. Like, I think Batum, Mann, Kennard, I think he would work really well with them just because he's been playing with them all year. But you are right. Reggie's a more natural catch and shoot fit off of those starters and the stars. But I honestly, to me, I think you have to start Wall.
Interesting. I go the other way. I think you keep starting Reggie. Like, after all these, you know, he's done for the Clippers.
Understandably,
last year too. Like, I don't know. I feel like John Wall's kind of got to earn that spot from him. And of course, if he does, you know, Reggie would be happy to go to the bench. But just to throw Reggie on the bench like that right away, I don't know. It's iffy. I mean, maybe if John Wall's, you know, does really good in training camp, preseason, and the Clippers are like, hey, he's still like the John Wall that we know from Washington, maybe, but I think he's really got to earn that from Reggie. I think Reggie still has it locked up, that starting spot.
I think in the preseason we may see split starters between the. I don't know how much the stars are gonna play during the preseason. I forgot how many preseason games there are. I think like 6 or something. But if the stars play half of them, I think John Wall will get 2 of them. Or no, I think he'll get 1 because I apologize. I'm coming off.
Goodness.
Illness. Yeah.
Feel better.
Thank you. I think they'll split it just to see the fit. I think we still haven't seen. I think Roko's going to start, is my inclination. But if it's Nico that starts, I think it's a higher chance Reggie does because that unit has more continuity to it. But I think John Wall is going to end up winning the starting spot by opening night.
So fully healthy, you think John Wall, Paul George, Kawhi, Roko Zoo?
Yes.
So Morris and Nico on the bench?
I honestly, I'm going under the assumption that Morris is getting dealt. Like, I just don't see. Because
do you think we'll deal him for a backup big? Or?
That's what I'm hoping for. I mean, obviously, we're going to get into that later. But I think you do need, because right now, there's only one center under contract, and it's Zoo. And you don't have a backup big. And Diabate, the second-round rookie, I'm assuming is going to be on a two-way. And he's like a 5'4", and he's skinny. So I kind of think you have to consolidate and get a backup big if they can't sign one in free agency. That's just how it is. And I think you need a true like backup center, like a center that if like Zoo for some reason gets hurt or something, you're going to need an actual like 7-footer or 6'10 guy that can bang down low and defend.
True. Okay. Well, I guess we'll agree to disagree on the John Wall, Reggie Jackson front. Maybe the weekly wager, or this could be like a whole summer wager, is John Wall starting or Reggie starting. It could be.
$300.
Wow. That might be out of my budget. Okay.
Yeah. It's not. No, I'm
a little out
that.
Of the budget.
No, I'm not doing that either.
Okay. We'll move on to the other signings that we made. Zubac signing for 3 years, $33 million. Nico Batum signing for 2 years, $22 million. And Amir Coffey for 3 years, $11 million. John, what stands out from these signings to you? What were your initial reactions to these?
Amir Coffey's contract definitely stood out. 3 years for 11 seems like an absolute steal. It's like 3.5 a year about. But I was happy with all of them. I think we saw something from like Jake Fisher of Bleacher Report. He said that they were expecting Nico to sign for 3 years, $30 million. So 2 years, $11 million, still good. Or 2 years, $22 million, sorry. But yeah, I think he deserved that money. And I think Zoo deserves his money too. Like, I don't think they overpaid for anyone. Zoo is still like a super undervalued center, I think. I know people have like problems with Zoo, but three. His contract is really good for a starting center for a small ball team. He's going to protect the rim. He's a decent finisher. He definitely has steps he can take to be a good back to the basket player. He can shoot the mid range, but he's not really doing it that much. But yeah, I think they're all great deals. I would have definitely prioritized those three in that order, and maybe Hartenstein last, which is kind of probably what they did also, which is probably why he left. But we'll talk about that later. But yeah, I'm happy with all the signings. I wasn't upset with a single move made this free agency.
Yeah, I really like them too. It seems like we got
Zubats.
John always gets on me for Zubats. Okay, there it is. Now I'll never get it wrong again. Yeah, that was a really good deal, of course. Locking him up for only 11 mil a year. Same with Nico Batum for 2 years, 11 mil each year. And then Amir Coffey definitely earned this contract, especially last year. We had seen flashes in previous years of him playing well, having some good games. But last year when we were dealing with all these people getting COVID and injuries and guys out in and out of the lineup, he stepped in and was like our leading scorer for a week or two straight and putting up great numbers and defending and playing on the ball, playing off the ball, just doing everything and more that was asked of him. So he absolutely deserved a 3-year, 11 mil contract. I'm really glad we were able to keep him. And yeah, it just feels like, you know, we retain the guys we definitely wanted to retain. Of course, after the break, we'll get into who we lost. But yeah, these feel like great deals to me. It doesn't seem like any of them are getting overpaid or underpaid. It feels just right. So yeah, I mean, I'm excited about these. These feel good.
Yeah, Daddy Ballmer rolled out the payroll and he didn't disappoint. And that Amir Coffey, even if he doesn't play most of the season, that I think that deal's really good. I thought he was going to get like 3 years, 18 million somewhere or something along those lines and leave. Who knows? Maybe he got offered that somewhere, but I guess we'll never know. And he also probably values staying in the system that saw him flourish and stuff. So good for him. He deserved to get an actual contract after being on a two-way the whole time. And yeah, man, I'm excited.
Totally. Do you think there'll be some room for some coffee minutes so Brian Seaman can work those coffee puns?
100%. I think we're gonna see a lot of load management this year because I think this is the season where I think they feel like they got the best shot because they're gonna have the best roster they have. They have a ton of depth, so they can afford to sit these guys and still be competitive. Like you're thinking about guys at the end of the bench that you don't know if they're gonna. Like they're going to get minutes cut because you still got to worry about Norman Powell getting him minutes like Rocco, Nico, Luke, Terrence Mann. Like we may not see much development from or not development, but we may not see much opportunity for Brandon Boston and like Amir Coffey, Jason Preston, like those guys. But I think because injuries happen every year and they have the depth for it, I think we will see him. Like, I think we could see a good amount. And plus, the stars are on the older side, and then Nico's kind of old. So I think they're going to want to preserve some. Yeah, I think we're going to see some coffee.
Yeah, it definitely could be tough for him to get, like, consistent minutes every single game with a fully healthy team. But you already know how the Clippers go. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be some COVID. BS happen. Yeah. Yeah, some COVID, some whatever, other random things that are going to happen to where some players are going to be out. So he's going to definitely have those games where he'll need to step in and step up for the team. And even in the playoffs, it could happen literally. So I'm definitely excited for when he gets that opportunity, of course, fully healthy. You know, we have so many wings now and so many players and could still be getting more, who knows what we're going to do. So it could be tough for him to get those consistent minutes, but he's going to be very, very valuable when players go down as he has been for years for the Clippers. So I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, I am too. Honestly, I think for me, with all the depth, I'm just kind of worried about the guys at the end that are kind of on the bubble of playing time. I'm hoping they can get enough minutes to like keep a rhythm, stay confident, and just build on what they had from last season. Just because I think this year it's going to be – Ty Lue's got a really tough job. I know he has a lot of talent, but managing – all that talent and all the minutes, I think, is going to be something to keep an eye on for this season.
Yeah, so off the bench, let's say, so it's Reggie or John Wall point guard off the bench, right?
Yep.
And then you got Kennard, T-Man, and then
Norm.
Norm off the bench.
Norm's definitely going to be first. I think Norm's going to be first.
Oh man, so we actually have so many players. So let's. Oh, this is a tough call. So we got Norm, Reggie or John Wall, Kennard, T-Man, possibly Morris, Nico.
And then a backup
possibly
big they got
a backup
get.
Big. Ah, yeah, that's going to be some tough decisions.
Yeah, and also I tweeted something about a backup big last night, and the people were like, oh, why don't you just have like Roko or Nika be backup? Because you know why, people? Because you don't want to burn them out during the regular season. Ty Lue did that last year. He didn't go small too much. He only did it when he felt like he absolutely have to. So that's why I think they're going to get a backup big and they will play him instead of going small every single time. So
you tell them, John, you let them Twitter people know.
I know I will. They'll keep saying it. And you know what? there's no helping them, but God bless you guys for following me still. Love you. But yeah, I think the five off the bench is going to be Reggie, Norm, Man, Nico, and then the backup big. And then I think it's going to be Man or Luke, depending on what they need that night.
That's fair. I can definitely see it changing depending on the matchup. Yeah, it's going to be weird. I wonder what we could get from Morris. So Morris could be out, and then maybe Kennard doesn't get any minutes off the bench, or T-Man. Like, it just is so weird after this last year to picture Terrence Mann or Luke Kennard not getting any minutes off the bench,
sense.
Right? It doesn't.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
God, like, what if Morris doesn't even get traded? Then you could possibly have Morris and Man or Kennard not playing, like, in the rotation. Like,
that's gonna be so weird. I mean, this is like the best problem to have, though. At least
it is. I think they need to take advantage of the assets they have and either get draft capital or at least an area of need. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I think because we're only what, second day of free agency, we're definitely going to see some more bombs coming, but we just don't.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know when, we don't know what.
Yeah, we'll be looking forward to those. On that note, we're going to take a quick break, people, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about our fan favorite, Hart, signing with the Knicks. But then we'll also talk about what other great backup bigs we can sign, any other possible trades, and then we'll close it out. We'll be right back.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We are back, and now we are going to talk about Isaiah Hartenstein signing with the Knicks for 2 years, $16 million. Of course, he became a fan favorite with the Clippers very, very quickly this year. He played very well. He brought energy off the bench. He would hit threes here and there at the end of games and was just a great, great guy on and off the court. So it's sad to see him go, but we're happy for him and earning that money with New York. And, of course, now the Clippers are lacking a backup big. So we're going to talk about John, first of all, what are your reactions to Hart signing with the Knicks? And what are your thoughts on potential backup bigs the Clippers could get?
Well, first of all, good for Hartenstein. He honestly was not even about to make the roster. He was the third big, but did well enough in the preseason to win it from Harry Giles, who we could possibly get again. And he earned himself that money. Who knows if the the mid-level would have been enough for him to stay if John Wall didn't take it. But good for him going to New York. I don't know why New York paid him that much, because they already have Mitchell Robinson and Jericho Sims. So maybe
they're the Knicks.
I mean, they just gave Brunson 104. Good for him. He had a great year. He's part of the reason why their defense was good. He was literally their motor on offense. So it's upsetting, but I think if you prioritize Zoo, Rocco, Nico, and Coffee, and John Wall, I'm okay with giving up Hartenstein, if that's your takeaway from it. But it's kind of sad to see him go. I definitely think he wanted to stay. I think a lot of people kind of could tell that he wanted to stay, but you're only I think you got to take advantage. He's still young, but you got to take advantage of when the money comes your way. It's going to change your life. So who knows? Maybe they can get him if he doesn't like it there. I hope he's just like out of the rotation in New York and Jericho Sims just does really well, and then we could trade for him, because $8 million doesn't seem like much with our contracts.
Ooh.
But
that'd be interesting.
Yeah. So
maybe Marcus Morris goes back to the Knicks. Who knows?
Yeah, seriously, bro. Marcus Morris is double that salary, so you could take something else from them.
Exactly.
Or get a trade exception, something like that. But yeah, that's how I feel about that. And the potential backup bigs. I think for me, my wish list is probably Thomas Bryant, Gorgie Jang, and Tristan Thompson. I think those are my top three that I want. And then any potential trade, I would probably pursue Poeltl from San Antonio, because I think they might be having a fire sale after trading Murray and Lonnie Walker walking. But I don't know. There's a gaping hole at the backup center spot, and it's not like they need too much minutes. Tristan Thompson played with Ty Lue. I think he would be a good fit. He's an offensive rebounder. I think he'd be comfortable in their system. I kind of want Thomas Bryant more just because he's younger, really energetic, but he's getting linked to the Lakers. But I don't know. As of July 1st, 4:41 p.m. Pacific time, we don't have a backup yet. But, yeah, that's just me.
Yeah, I think Dwight could definitely be a possibility, Dwight Howard. Of course, every Clipper fan wants Blake Griffin, but we're not too sure how many minutes he would end up getting at that position. Of course, DeMarcus Cousins is out there. He can make his return to the Clippers as well. Jakob Poeltl, I've always loved. He's an insanely good shot blocker.
Really, hella solid.
Really underrated center.
Very solid.
Yeah, possible for sure. And then again, the thing with Hart, you know, he was great. We did see in the play-in games, though, he did struggle. Ty Lue would put him in the first half. It wasn't the greatest stretch of minutes. And then he ended up not playing at all in the second halves, and Ty Lue leaned towards small ball. So it does suck to see Hart leave, but, you know, it's not like he was this god come to play in time off the bench for us. So it's not the worst thing in the world. We can definitely get a great backup center still. And yeah, like you said, Thomas Bryant has been linked to LA. So who knows? Tristan Thompson kind of bounced around lately, hasn't been able to find a home. So that's slightly worrisome. But yeah, I would say for me, I'm definitely interested in Dwight and Jakob Poeltl.
Yeah. I think definitely more defensive bigs you would want. That we don't lose too much in case Zoot isn't playing. And plus, honestly, I don't expect them to play much in the playoffs. I mean, unless they play Joker. But Hartenstein didn't play much in the playing games, but that's also matchups without against them. So we don't know what the future is going to hold. But yeah, I would like Blake Griffin. If we already had the backup center secured, like we already got it, and there was a free roster spot, I would love Blake Griffin to take that third spot. I think he liked a tweet about someone asking him to come back. A couple of reporters, I don't know how accurate it is, said they think he's going back to LA. They didn't know if it was Lakers or Clippers. Hopefully it's not the Lakers, but I would love to have him as the 15th guy. I don't think it would hurt. He gave the Nets energy last postseason when he was called upon, but yeah, not really much to do. But wait and see what the front office does.
I think it's bound to happen one day that Blake makes his return, whether he like finishes his career on a small contract. I think that's just bound to happen because he wasn't super loved in Detroit, even though he gave his all, battled through injuries, played on a hurt knee. Like, he wasn't super loved in Detroit, you know, then Brooklyn, it was like, okay, wasn't super loved, but the Clippers, like, that's his team. Like, when you think Blake Griffin, you're going to think Clippers. Like, he's got to come back just on like a small deal or something. Like, one day I'm keeping the faith that it'll happen.
Yeah. Put us on the map.
Literally.
Oh God. But
well, yeah. We'll see, man. The Clippers are always up to something, and we know not too many leaks are going to be happening. So it's just the wait and see game. It's just the wait and see game. Do you see any other possible trades that the Clippers can make? If not for backup big, for someone else that's on the market, or what are you thinking in that front?
Trying to think of potential backup thing because Drummond just signed with Chicago. That's why I was thinking Tristan Thompson isn't going to want to stay there.
I should just ask the question. Do you think it's possible the Clippers trade for KD or Kyrie?
Jeez.
Let's go right to it.
Those aren't bigs.
Possibly gone. Oh, they're not bigs, but they're big. Pause. But yeah, they could. KD requesting a trade. Kyrie, yeah. So what do you think that it's a possibility the Clippers trade for him? Will they gut the team for someone? Will they trade Paul George for KD? What are your thoughts?
Well, Zach Lowe said the Clippers aren't going to upend the roster for Kyrie, but they're also saying the asking price is so low that they probably just want to check on Kyrie. But I don't know about Kyrie. I think with that roster, it's weird. And plus, you just got John Wall and you just – and you have Reggie Jackson. So unless they're including Reggie in it, I don't know. And I don't know how that'd do with PG. I don't think Kyrie would join. I think he was the more natural fit before they got John Wall. But now that they have him, I don't really see it happening. KD, the only way they get him is if they give up Paul George. And
we won't do that. There's no way.
Never know, but I think that's the only way they get him. If they give up Paul George, definitely draft capital, and then you'll have to give up probably Boston and Mann.
Yeah, there's no way. But I don't think the Clippers will do that.
Yeah. Would you want them to?
Nah, not trade Paul George for KD and all the other stuff too. It's just it's not worth it, especially because Paul George has become such a like he's a Clipper. He's an official Clipper. You don't know if KD, you know, with his history, if he could end up bouncing or not liking it or whatnot. PG and Kawhi are just, they feel very, very locked in. And like, you don't want to mess that up. You don't want that bad juju in the air of them, you know, being on the Clippers and making it their home. And then you trade them away. It's like, it's just, you don't want that bad juju.
That's true. But don't forget in 2019, Kawhi asked KD first.
That is true.
To join him. And during that season, it was Ballmer's dream to have those two team up together on the Clippers. So we don't know if that's that dream's still alive because they already established that PG's part of the family stuff. So that's why I don't think it would happen. But hey, never say never with the front office. And you know, the Nets want a young star, so that's why I also think they wouldn't say yes to Paul George. So I think the Clippers are safe. Or Clipper fans are safe that don't want those guys gone.
Yeah, you got to imagine a KD trade is going to be the hall of all halls, which
we won't have the draft capital to supply. Bro, Rudy Gobert just got 5 first rounders.
Yeah, Rudy Gobert. So you can imagine KD is going to get. I mean, there was a report saying they were looking for like 2 stars back in that trade. So who knows what that could look
so
like?
So it'll just take Kawhi and Paul George. And then they'll give us KD. Wow.
This literally feels like 2K when you're playing my league.
That's like a horrible that's insane. I don't know what stars are gonna be worth it for them. Because Donovan's not getting traded. They just said they want to retool around him. I don't know. I hope it's just Toronto or Boston. I don't want him going to the West.
Toronto's definitely interesting. That's what Zach Lowe was thinking too. Definitely Scottie Barnes and a whole type of collection around that. Scottie, Kyrie Pascal, to the Clippers, though. I feel like I don't think the Clippers will gut the depth that they've assembled for Kyrie just to.
But I don't think it would take that much. I think it'd be like Luke, Mook for salary matching, and then maybe like one more after that. But I don't know if that's. I don't know if risking it
be a good amount. Yeah, I mean, maybe you can get a third team.
Yeah, I don't. I don't anticipate either being Clippers.
Yeah, it seems like Kyrie is pretty focused on going to the Lakers too. That would not be fun if Kyrie joined LeBron and AD.
And I wouldn't want to trade for a guy that's hell bent on going to the Lakers like right after.
It's a good point. It's a really good point.
So yeah, I don't know. I think they'll steer clear of them. If not, I'm wrong, like I always am.
Well, you did lose the weekly wagers at the end of the day.
Yeah, and bro, by one bet.
So the Jack Clippers effect, I get the wins at the end of the day. And all right. It might be the weekly summer offseason wager of Reggie versus John Wall. We may really have to actually make this a legit thing of who's going to start when the season starts.
That's actually a really good one, too, because it's like a legit question.
Yeah, and we literally disagree on it too. This was not planned. This is live on the pod. You're hearing it live.
I literally hate him.
Who?
That was too brutal. I don't hate you.
My goodness, that came out of nowhere, John.
I know. I'm sorry. Angry I'm just dramatic.
On Twitter today, you're angry at me. Is everything okay?
Yeah, I'm just trying to be dramatic for the people, for entertainment. It's showbiz, baby. You should know that. Your family's in it. Catch the Rookie on ABC.
Okay, I respected that you're doing it for the content. So, all right, I guess on that note, we'll end the pod today. That was a great one. Thank you guys so much for listening. That's going to do it for us today. And just remember to rate us, give us feedback on the Bird app, all that good stuff. John, where can the lovely people listening find you?
You lovely, beautiful, intelligent people can find me at courtside_clips. If you're not lovely, beautiful, or intelligent, you could still follow me there.
Yes, he's calling you lovely, beautiful, and intelligent, but then he gets very mad at you guys when you say that we don't need a backup big.
Okay.
All right, see you guys. And as always, go Clips.